Jeff Summers is here. He went to Rutgers, and he sold a science fiction novel to a publisher in California, right? Is that right?
That was my first novel, the unlamented first novel. This one is...
It was called Lord of the Rings. No, what was it called?
The first novel is called Lifers.
Yeah, Lifers.
And you can buy one for a penny on Amazon right now.
Hey, listen, my book's there. You know, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. You wrote a book and you got it published.
Well, that's the way I look at it.
That's a really big thing, you know, and you're on the national radio show right now.
That's a really big thing.
You're sitting with some really terrific people.
I'm having a great time, actually.
And I'm not going to take any phone calls, so don't get too excited. Otherwise, I have all your relatives.
But my
up.
Mom is waiting.
Yeah, I know. Where is she living?
Jersey City.
See, now that's a bad space.
Actually, she's in the Heights area of Jersey City. It's not.
I don't care. What's it? AP Hill? Is that where that is?
That's right on the it's right on the cliffs over Hoboken. That's where she lives.
Well, you know, this is the only city that Frank Sinatra never performed in.
I know. Frank Sinatra could not wait to get out of Hoboken.
He never would do his shows there. Never would perform in his own hometown.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing what Hoboken was like back then, I don't blame him.
Well, I was the Grand Marshal of the Weehawken Parade. I don't know. It's pretty special. Now, do you go through that hole? To Jersey? Do you go through that thing?
I live in Hoboken, actually.
Oh, so you take the hole every day, then?
No, I work at home, so yeah. I actually just live in...
They want to call it a tunnel. I don't want to honor it that much.
That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah, we just came through that just now, actually, coming here.
Yeah. Holland or...
Holland.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good name for that. It's got a lot of dikes. Now, the Holland Tunnel is a little different than the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Lincoln Tunnel guy.
Yeah.
I've done both.
I'm
bi-tunnel.
I'm trying to go there, but I had my tubes tied last week. Are you able to pick up a cell phone in the Holland Tunnel when you're going through? Have you noticed? Or does it cut out?
I don't know, because I don't use cell phones.
You don't use them at all?
No, I hate cell phones.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're one of the few. How old are you? 20-something?
36.
36 years old? Yeah. And you don't use a cell phone?
No.
Where the hell do you live? What planet?
My own little world, I guess.
Yeah, good.
That'd be hard to get by without a cell phone for me these days.
Yeah.
It actually frees you from landlines. It's actually one of the less intrusive inventions. But I want to ask you a question, if
sure.
I may.
Yeah, of course.
A question.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what he's here for.
You're 36 years old. Yes. You've written two novels.
Yes.
Are you able to sustain yourself on this novel writing?
Not at present, no.
So what else? What else do you do?
His wife's in the other room. She's got to go to work.
Hey, do you teach or something like that?
I'm an editor at a.
Ah, an editor.
Yeah, so.
What made you go into novel writing?
Editing.
I can do it better.
That would put you down. Well, they say, hey, if someone else can make money doing this, so can I. What is this?
Yeah. And then you find out there is no money in it, and then, you know.
Novel writing
you're
is
doomed.
Difficult.
Yeah.
No, editing is difficult. You know, Judith Regan was an editor. That's what she did at Simon & Schuster.
She was a special kind of editor. She had her own choice of what to work on. A lot of editors.
No, not at first. She was Simon & Schuster, and she talks about that. That's why I said that to you. She's a...
A lot of editors become agents.
So you do not find them easily because it's a thankless, hard job to be an editor.
And I work on medical textbooks, basically. And
even harder.
Yeah.
So. You ever fudge for any of the drug companies to make them?
Oh, God, no.
You wouldn't do that?
Actually, we don't take any responsibility for the dosages and stuff that.
Nobody takes any responsibility for anything.
Did
society.
You ever rob a bank?
I just wonder if you had anything to do with Pfizer.
No, we have no direct contact whatsoever.
Like advertise?
I'm just joking.
No, they don't usually. They might buy a chapter and make a pamphlet out of it, but that's like there's a firewall between those, or theoretically there's a firewall.
So are your novels about medicine?
No. Not at all. I actually don't have any kind of medical background. I mean, when I say editing, I'm purely just, you know, grammar.
Neither does my doctor, which is kind of <interesting. laughs>
Who's also a novelist.
Yeah. Everybody writes a book eventually, right?
Everybody has two careers, though, and hours.
Yeah. Well, why are you here tonight?
Yeah.
Because I have this book out, and you were kind
of... So you are coming here because you have a book out? What the hell are we doing? We're just booking books? Are we booking books tonight? Yeah, I guess we are.
It's a book party.
Oh, I see. No. They just told me over my headsets that you were the third car to come through the tunnel.
Oh, okay. I kept thinking that someone bigger than me had just canceled tonight.
They did.
Oh, okay.
It was a bus.
Easy Pass was right next door.
New Jersey special. It was a bus with authors.
Oh, man. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
That means they're all out there begging for change right now.
Oh, man. I tell you, there's nobody going to beg for change except the Republicans.
For the rest of the country.
Yeah. So we got a different kind of an approach here on the show. You know, have you ever listened to this thing?
Yes, I have actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What have you liked about it?
I like the fact that you sort of just let it spin out, you know, and you sort of start a conversation and see where it goes. And you know, while you might start off with, at least from what I've heard, you might start off with a focus. It doesn't always stay there, and you just allow it to sort of live organic.
I just wonder what anybody thinks of my organic farm, with a lot of manure. I mean, there isn't anybody that does this any better than I do.
That's what makes it grow.
Yeah,
grow
it's just called attention deficit disorder compounded by high anxiety.
Attention deficit.
I have that.
And a national audience.
Attention deficit disorder radio.
But look at this audience. I mean, you know, look at the stuff that they're feeding everybody. You know, I mean, I'm probably the brightest spot on the dial because everything's so damn dumb. I mean, it's only by virtue of contrast that it works for me. Otherwise, you know, when I was in a smarter world, when I was a little younger, I didn't have a shot. You know, I went to NYU. We had brilliance around me, I thought. I mean, you know, the announcers were great. Announcers had voices like this. No, not Barry White. But, you know, they were great voices, and they were intellectual, and they had
a different kind of medium.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so pop. You know, and we weren't talking about garbage. I mean, you would never have this society the way it is now. I mean, some of these artists are not artists. I mean, we call them that. I don't know. They ought to be painting with a roller. They're not artists. But this is the junk food for the mindless.
Yeah, demographics have ruined everything.
But you got this swine, this inner swine going. What is that?
The inner swine's a zine, is what I call it. It's a self-published magazine.
Yeah, well, so you must get off on that. I mean, there's
absolutely
some sort of an eargasm.
It's like a sandbox where you can write anything you want, you know, and take the half-baked short stories that you can't sell anywhere, but you still like them, and you dump them in there, and you write little opinion pieces when you have really no background or knowledge about it, you know, and you just put it out there, whatever you feel like.
So this is like a Jersey blog?
Sort of, but like zines were blogs before the internet. You know,
they're long things that people write that are
rambling.
Do you have time to read blogs? You don't even have a cell phone. You don't read all that. You're editing for a living, so you're not going to be reading other
things. Right. I read a few blogs here and there, mostly people that I know.
Not the whole thing, though.
No, of course not. Internet's not like that. You don't read long pieces on
No,
a screen.
I mean, that's I can't imagine anybody reading a blog when they send you a message that says, send money now, buy. You know, I mean, everything is down to an email.
Right.
Or a
text message, which isn't even English anymore.
Well, I've discovered this in my travels this last year. There's a difference in communicating from writing someone a letter with sincerity and some sort of a message, and email and text. All three have different levels of cold.
Yes.
The coldest of which is text.
Mm-hmm.
Text message is absolutely. I'm not going to deal with you right now.
Right. I can't even be bothered to spell for you. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And the email is one of, I don't have that much time for you. And the letter is, I'm doing this because I have to.
Very depressing.
It really is. I meant it that way. No, do you write to people? Mark, you email me once in a while. You write nice emails.
I write emails like their letters, but I don't write that many. That's why they're better. I don't do any blogging. I just don't. It's not for me. I do my talking through my books, and I use the internet basically to call people around the world for free on MSN. You can actually get a phone hookup and hear people and see people if you have a camera, and that's what I like to do. But for the rest of it, I like to listen to music. Rather than reading books.
Well, Jeff, do you have an iPod? Do you do that?
No, not an iPod. I do have a little digital player.
MP3 or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can take the show. Have you? You know that?
Yeah, no, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the podcasts.
Have you done that yet?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah.
Because I clicked around on some of the older shows that I've missed. So, I was also actually I missed the one we had Bill Lee on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So,
but it's archived. You know, we got all that mm-hmm. stuff. Isn't that neat that you can really?
That's fantastic. I love that.
It's time shift. Is right. What it is. You take. You can listen to this in the daytime, so people don't have that.
It's a permanent record. You know, yeah. Like for fans, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you heard something great on the radio. It was in your head, and that was it.
Yeah.
And now you can pull it down and listen to it anytime you want.
I love that.
We do it for legal reasons. You know, you can get caught with a lot of things that I said on the air here. The WOR710.com, in case anybody's listening, they wonder where you do that. And then you can download today, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's archived shows. There's all kinds of little contemporary toys now. But are you editing other people's works besides the medical stuff?
Yeah.
Do you do any novels or books?
No.
Nothing else? You haven't gotten to that yet?
No. Not sure I would want to.
So tell us a little bit about what the Electric Church is. Is that something that you belong to?
Jimi Hendrix that belonged to
that. Right, I get a lot of that. People say, is this a book about Jimi Hendrix? It's like, nope, sorry. And they're always disappointed then, which is awkward.
Is it as bizarre as The Matrix?
I think so.
It's got levels of misunderstanding?
Yeah, I mean, it's set in the future, and the fastest growing religion in this dystopian society is the Electric Church. And what they preach is that a normal human lifespan is not long enough to attain salvation, to contemplate your sins.
Ah.
And so they say you need eternity, and to achieve eternity, they cut your brain out and put you into a cyborg body. And the big problem is that this turns out to not be an entirely voluntary process, and that's why they're the fastest growing religion in the world. So that's the Electric Church in a nutshell, right?
Who's the Pope?
The Pope is this guy named Dennis Squaller, who's
you got a Pope?
I do, yeah. They don't call him the Pope.
But, no, you better not.
Although that would be good publicity. Yeah. You'd have a lot of protests.
Your mother won't like it. So you got statues of saints and all that stuff?
No.
They're not around long enough.
Well, and I kind of consciously avoided any kind of real religious imagery in there. I don't address it, but I always imagine that Catholicism and all the other religions are still there. They're just fading. Sort of.
I told some jokes at the Vatican last month, and I got in trouble there. I don't think it's too funny to refer to the Pope's car as the Immaculate Contraption. They weren't real happy about that. We'll be right back. The Joey Reynolds Show, live from New York.